I also posted a listing saying In-N-Out Burger is coming to Langley for one day, September 10th.
Oh.
So.
They're In-N-Out.
They are.
Literally.
Just the burger, though. No fries.
Really?
Get your own damn fries. That's what it's all about.
I think I've been to an In-N-Out. I went to one in the town that American Graffiti takes place in.
Americatown.
No.
Lucasville.
Stockton.
Okay.
Stockton, California.
We should talk about it on here.
We are.
Oh, good. Good for us.
Let's start the show.
Okay. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Sneaky Dragon. I'm Ian Boothby.
And I'm David Dedrick.
All right. We were just talking.
You just dismissed me.
I just dismissed you. Yeah, I did. Sorry.
All right.
We were doing that 5 seconds of silence beforehand nonsense. And it's always odd to just sit silent. Like, it's nothing wrong with silence in a conversation. Like, you can take a little break between, if we've been friends for many years.
Yes.
And sometimes you just have silences and it's not awkward. It's just fine. You just have that silences.
Sure.
But when you have a forced silence and you're just forced to like look at each other in silence.
Yes.
It's weird. Even 5 seconds. Just weird.
It is.
So it always starts the show off on a weird note.
It does. To explain why we have the silence before we start, it's just so I can get the room tone, just the kind of background level noise, and then I can select that, sample it, and then I have the noise reduction can then remove that level of hum and busyness and whatnot.
Because you give a damn. You care.
I care about quality. I care that much.
Quality is job one. Sure. You would, like, not enough to ever edit the show, but enough to get room, 5 seconds of silence.
To sit
quietly and do nothing for 5 seconds. That's the level of commitment you've got to the show. You will do nothing for 5 seconds to make the show better.
In my defense.
Your Honor.
Q, I have edited the show.
Q?
Yeah, the letter Q.
Okay.
R, I feel like A, and that's all been taken care of. Q, I have added to the show at times.
Right.
R, our show is supposed to be improvised. So me editing it seems to defeat the purpose of that. It's just
where
a free-for-all.
Where does it say this should be improvised? When have we ever set that in our mission statement? If you go to the iTunes and you see our show.
It says improvised
sometimes edited show. We guarantee 5 seconds of silence at the beginning of every episode.
A respectful 5 seconds.
Yeah, as much room tone as you can handle, motherfuckers. That's what it says right off the top. We are going to be releasing all our room tone at probably our 500th episode. We're going to go, it's just going to be room tone.
That'd be good. You know what we actually should do for our 500th episode? It's just do all the cold opens.
Edit
them all together.
That'd be a lot of cold. Speaking of anniversaries, we do have the 250th episode coming up very shortly. And thank you so much for all your questions, because we're going to have a question episode. So thanks for all the questions. And they've been hard. Like, a lot of you guys do this one. Here's 25 questions. Like, okay, that's great.
It's kind of like a math exam or a math homework where you're like, you only have 5 questions, but then there's all the sub questions to each one. So it turns out it's actually 25.
Yeah, and I got no problems with questions as long as you don't tell me to do my work, show my work next to it. I always used to hate that in math where I was like, do the math. Yeah. Okay, I figured it out. Now show your work. Ugh. Because normally I'd have to just bullshit my way to like how I got there.
Yeah.
It's like, I get it. No, you got to show your work. Anyway, if you haven't sent in a question yet, you still got a bit of time.
Sure.
A little bit of time. So there's many ways to do that. You can go to our webpage, sneakydragon.com. You can email us at sneakyd@sneakydragon.com. You can go @sneaky_dragon on Twitter. We also have a Tumblr, sneakydragon.tumblr, babadababadaboo. All the normal things are on Facebook is also fine. We have a page. So what's going to happen if you do give us a question? Which can be about the show, basically about anything you want. We will put first of all, you're going to get something. What are you going to get?
Every person who sends us questions is going to get our bumper book of We're So Jar, which is a collection of our jam comics that we have done together time to time.
Yeah, and probably some buttons and other nonsense.
And some other stuff.
We're going to go in Dave's junk drawer. We're just going to get a handful of whatever's there. Probably old batteries.
There's some actual buttons.
Yeah, buttons, old batteries, keys that don't open locks. We're going to, maybe some mouse turds. We're going to throw that in an envelope. We're going to send that off to you.
Yeah.
Owl beaks. I don't know why he's got them, but he's got quite a few. We'll do that. Now,
time at Hogwarts.
We will also, that's why we got kicked out of Hogwarts. Speaking of Hogwarts, we're going to get a sorting hat.
We're
going to put everything in the sorting hat, and then we're going to draw out a winner. And the winner will get
a t-shirt of their choice. Customize. You can choose any title card that you like. It's probably better if you choose one that I've done most of the drawing on rather than one that's a photograph, and because those tend to be lower resolution. So, but it's up to you.
Right.
You,
what's going to happen is Dave's going to go, you can have anyone you want. You'll go, how about this one? He'll go, no. Yeah, how about this one?
No, I'm not going to say that. I'm just going to say.
And then you'll end up. You know, you'll end up with the one that he wanted to give you. Anyway. Mm,
yeah,
you'll end up right. with the ghost dragon one. That's where you're going. We got a bunch of those still. So that's probably what we're going to end up with.
No, that's not true.
Okay.
It'll be your choice.
It'll be a Captain Crunch one that Dave still has just from his childhood.
Yes.
He'll just give you that,
sure.
That shirt. You had a Captain Crunch shirt, didn't you?
I did.
Yeah,
right.
I seem to remember that
And I had
shirt.
A Captain Crunch watch.
Oh.
Because my dad...
Time to eat some cereal.
Yeah, it was a white...
Milk's gone plastic? Soggy. That's what it says
exactly
at this point.
Exactly right at 9 o'clock. It was a plastic watch,
mm-hmm.
and then it had kind of a rounded lens, but it was like kind of bubble shaped,
mm-hmm.
as if it was magnifying. And then it had Captain Crunch pointing his arms at various. I like a Mickey Mouse watch only.
Yeah,
Captain
I was going to go like Mickey Mouse.
Like Mickey
probably
Mouse.
Should get a couple of Mickey bucks for that.
I don't think Mickey Mouse invented the watch.
Now here's the question I have about that: Did
sure.
Mickey Mouse invent the character on a watch?
No,
with his hands.
He did not, because he's not a real person. Yes. Thanks, everyone. I'm going now. See you later, everyone. Bye.
Okay.
Good night.
Fair enough. Do you think it's the first cartoon character on a watch? Or did they try it before? It didn't work out? Like a little Mortimer Mouse or something? Oswald the Lucky Rabbit?
Gertie the Dinosaur.
That would be very difficult with his little
the
stumpy
tail,
legs.
The tail and then the head turned.
And then a meteor getting closer and closer. And at the end of day, it just strikes him and then you start fresh.
Yeah. They could be. I mean, I don't know. Like... People were, it's interesting, my friend had a it was like a laundry, it was a plastic laundry, like powder carrier. It's kind of hard to explain, but I guess you'd buy a box of laundry detergent,
okay.
and then you'd put it into this little plastic holder,
okay.
and then it would be available to be used. I don't know. But what was interesting.
Wait, you would empty the laundry soap into this, or would it be
no,
in the box?
No, the box would kind of slide into
much
it.
Much like Canadian milk.
Exactly.
Would be we have bags of milk in Canada. Yeah. I don't know if any other country has that. Or wants it, but we have plastic bags of milk that you slide into a milk holder with a handle on it, and you can pour out some milk.
It used to be very common. It's not as common nowadays. You don't
because
see it everywhere.
It makes no sense, really. There's no need
for
it.
Well, if you think about waste, it's pretty low in the waste.
I wonder,
department.
Because the packs of milk, you know, you can, you know, the regular milk cartons are recyclable.
Okay.
But the plastic bags that you get the milk in for the Canadian style, they are not.
But nowadays... You can buy like the narrower, I don't know what the size of it is, but the, say, 1 liter of milk. But you can't, like when we were kids, you could buy the big square carton.
Right.
Do you remember that? Like not the rectangular one, but it was a big fat square one.
Oh, I actually don't remember that.
Oh,
no.
Okay. Yeah.
You liked milk a lot. Well, you were a big cereal eater, clearly. If you're wearing all the merchandise and the swag of Captain Crunch, it's clear you were going through a lot of
it's
milk.
It's clear my dad worked for Quaker Oats.
Yeah, we also didn't mention, whenever we're talking about the pool in Dave's backyard, that was filled with milk.
Damn right.
And that's why his skin was so soft and smooth.
That's right.
Cleopatra style.
It's just milk and the blood of children.
Right.
Yeah.
So when Cleopatra's having her milk bath, which seems like a bad idea under the hot sun. One.
Okay. Yeah.
And also a terrible idea when you've got so many cats around. Doesn't that sound like the worst culture to like have a milk bath in?
Maybe
unless you really wanted the cats to come
into
the
bathroom. I think that she liked that.
Okay.
Or is that, do cats really like milk that much?
Cats do like milk, but cats cannot tolerate lactose, so it's not very good for
them. Oh, is that right?
Yeah, it gives them tummy cramps. So you should get your cats, if you want to give them milk, get them that cat milk that is, well, I mean, maybe just
made of
lactose.
Cats.
Yeah, that's right. They'd milk cats.
That's right.
Oh, God. That's the way that is.
Where were we? We were on milk. We were backing. I tried to back up to.
Okay, I'm going to just throw a thing. A couple of you out there have said also some very nice things again about my cat.
Please.
So thank you so much again for all those things, the kind words you've been sending in. Very much appreciated. She's still very much missed. Thank you kindly. You're all swell. And thank you again for all the pictures of your animals that you've been sending in. Beautiful, especially yours, Risa Bisa Meow Meow Meow. Is that the full name? Am
yes,
I getting that correct?
That's right. Yes.
Very nice.
Thank you.
Does your cat like milk? Have you ever done that? Put out the cream for the cat?
No, because I always think that it's not good for them. And
you're
now
correct.
You've confirmed it. And also, I've heard what's bad for them is to feed them, like, there's a can of tuna fish. It's not good for them as well.
Why is that?
I think that it's not, I don't know. Like, I just was reading somewhere and it said, don't feed cats just plain tuna fish. You should feed them food that's been processed for them.
Okay.
But I don't know why that is. I'm sorry. I should be more up on cats, and I'm not.
Dave ain't up on cats. No,
if you look at that picture of Risa, if you look at that picture of Risa Bisa,
yeah,
she is like, to me, like the ideal head shape of a cat. You know, like, I know there's different sorts of cats, but, and whatever she is, I think she's like a Maine coon cat.
Uh-huh.
Because she is quite big and dog-like. This is the shape of her head. It's just that kind of, like, if I was going to draw a cat, that's my idea of what a cat should head
that
should
also
look.
Makes sense that you got a cat model there. You might as well use that cat
model. Well, that, but, you know.
Draw me like you do your French cats.
Even before I knew her, that was, like, my ideal of a cat. And then when she.
Do you think you created her with your mind?
Yeah, probably. I think it's imaginary.
Yeah.
Do you see the picture? It was just very an empty space, right?
Yeah, but, yeah. No, I was just thinking you could have done that with CGI. Clearly, you know your way around Photoshop.
You're humoring me.
Yeah.
This is an empty picture. Yes, Dave. That cat in your lap. Cuckoo.
And I got bad news about your family as well.
Oh, I just live in a hovel. This is a messy house with no one in it.
Sure.
That'd be so sad.
No, not at all. It's not. And like we know that's not true because you just came from the PNE where you were with your
family.
My
third day at the PNE.
That's right. And speaking of animals, you were taking care of an animal there.
Yeah, my daughter was riding her horse in a indoor event. So she was there for 3 days. She did dressage phase on Wednesday night. Then I raced from work. Work finished at 5 and she was riding at 6. And so I raced from work. Actually, I didn't really race. I just drove at my normal speed.
You didn't race on a horse.
You know, haste makes waste, you know?
Yeah, that's what they say at the racetrack.
Yeah, I think they're right. And because, you know, one thing I noticed.
Hastings makes wastings. Well, it would make sense if you knew that our racetrack was called the Hastings Park racetrack. That would sort of make sense. Go ahead.
If you drive around a lot, you'll see there's a lot of car accidents. There was one the other day when I was driving in. And I don't think it comes from people being careful. I think it comes from making hasty decisions that aren't good.
I remember as a kid someone saying, haste makes waste.
Yeah.
But that someone replied, he who hesitates is lost. And it was and I thought, sayings don't make fucking sense then. Because every one of them has a counter saying.
It's true. I think you're right. I think you probably could counter everything that you, every saying, early to bed, early to rise makes, you know. The early bird gets the worm. What would be the counter to that?
Well, the counter to early bird gets the worm is you don't know whether you're the bird or the worm because the early worm gets eaten.
There you go.
So, you know, you want to be the late worm or you're going to be the late worm.
that's an interesting point. I do like that idea that every saying we have is countered by something else. I'll have to think about the
a fool and his money are soon parted.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, money likes dum-dums. You know, that thing.
Maybe they're not all.
It's like, well, that's the thing. You don't, like, I'm fooling his money or soon parted. That's not true because there's a lot of jackasses who have money.
Mm-hmm.
Some are running for president. There, I went political again, huh? folks, how do you like that? Boom, boom. Ugh. There you go.
Pandering. A fooling his money or soon parted. But you can't cheat an honest man is another one I like. The idea that it's thinking about that time I was phoned by the Canadian Revenue Agency and told that I was going to be arrested.
Yeah. I also, by the way, on our Facebook page put up another article about that because someone did that, but the guy was a cop.
Mm.
Ah, so cool. Read up on that.
I keep meaning to. On my answer machine at home, I have a message from them. Someone yelling into the phone about that I'm going to be arrested. It's a man with a distinctly East Indian accent.
Yeah.
But his name is Ryan Smith.
Oh, nice.
Officer Ryan Smith.
What I would say is if you get a chance, record that and put that somewhere on one of our websites. That'd be fun to hear that.
I would like to hear that. I keep meaning to do that. I just want to point out Officer Ryan Smith, not Constable Ryan Smith, I believe is what he, you know, Constable should be what he says because if he's RCMP.
Right.
Come on, guys. Get your story straight back there 2,000 miles away. The horse show, it went okay. Mm-hmm. Last year was a triumph, and it was interesting.
I was there for some of that, and it was nice.
That's right. You were there the last time. That was really nice of you guys to come down.
It was fun. It was fun to watch.
This time wasn't quite as triumphant.
And I'm sorry I wasn't there. I blame myself. I was probably the good luck charm.
You guys
by not being able to be there. I had to work today, so I couldn't be there, and we felt guilty. My sister-in-law, Vicky, was there, wrote me, went, hey, is Eve riding today? I went, yes, a half hour ago. So I'm like, damn. Otherwise, she would have been there.
She would have seen Eve ride into a jump.
No, she would have given there the good luck.
Oh, that's right. Yep. That's right. The it was just too bad. Like last year, like I say, she came in first, and eventing works in a weird way. Like it's three phases: dressage, cross country, and stadium jumping. So there's two jumping parts to it, and then there's a dressage part. Dressage is heavily weighted towards dressage. So let's say dressage makes up maybe 60% of the mark, and the other two are 20 and 20.
Okay.
So once once your dosage is done, if you are seriously behind, you will have trouble gaining ground on the people in front of you. You know, assuming that they're competent jumpers and aren't going to, like, take down every rail going around the ring or smash into every jump or whatever. So, unfortunately, Eve was second after dosage.
Mm-hmm.
On Thursday night, she did her cross-country thing, which, once again, it's indoor, so it's not truly cross-country. They just set up cross-country-like jumps in the ring.
Okay.
So, where the horse stuff takes place in the suitably named Agrodome, which I love that name.
That is a really nice name.
At the PNE. And
it's also a terrible Pauly Shore movie.
Agrodome?
Yeah, where he has to be a farmer under a dome and he's trapped there for like a year.
That is a terrible movie.
Yeah, it's combining a lot of Pauly Shore movies in one.
Yeah. What's interesting there is it's also an ice rink. And if you've seen Deadpool, you have seen the Agrodome because he is driving a Zamboni and trying to kill someone who's in the Agrodome. That's where they filmed that scene. So if you've seen Deadpool, then you have seen the Agrodome. So there you go. But when the horses are there, there's no ice. It's not quite that cruel. It's not so cruel as making them run. So, but what, you know, like...
The cruelest thing is when they have the Finding Nemo on ice show there. Because, you know, that's just incredibly cruel to put, like, a fish on ice.
Yeah.
You know, frozen on ice. Mm. I understand what you're doing. That makes sense. I love it. It's great.
Sure.
Everyone's having a good time.
Yeah.
But whether it's a Little Mermaid on ice or a Finding Nemo on ice... They don't want to be on ice.
Do they do that? Or is it just Disney on ice?
They do have Finding Nemo on ice. Oh, okay. Yeah, absolutely they do that. Wow. I know that. And I'm sure they have Frozen on ice.
Yeah.
There's no way they don't have that.
Well, the name is
Let me just ask. Any people out there who are Disney fans, and I know you're out there, we get a surprising amount of Disney fans. You've been to the ice shows. They do have, they're specific. It's not just generic Disney on ice. Like when I was a kid, we went and it was generic Disney on ice.
Mm.
All the big hits, but they didn't have as many movies then.
Okay.
You know, so you get all the princesses, you get the thing, and blah, 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 blah. And I still want to get back to your story.
Sure.
So I'm not going to tangent off on this too much. But yeah, I think they specifically do
Frozen
on ice. They had Cars on ice, which also sounds terrible, which the
sounds
whole thing
dangerous.
Is them just turn into the skid.
Right.
That's the moral
sliding.
Of the story.
Yeah, a lot of sliding. I loved, well, because we didn't have that many films. So, yeah, it was like the Shaggy D.A., like a dog on ice skates skating around. It wasn't all that impressive.
Well, I remember it was all the princesses, right? And then they'd have the mirror. And the best part of it for me was you got the balloon, and the balloon had the Mickey Mouse balloon in the other balloon. So Mickey Mouse head-shaped balloon in another balloon. It was like a balloon in
That's
a balloon.
You can get them at Disneyland. Yes.
You can, but I couldn't.
When I was a young man growing up
in Montreal, where am I going to get that? Lovely time.
I never went to see Disney on ice, but we did go see Ice Capades. Which, when you think about it now, I mean, I guess they still do ice capades, but it's amazing how popular ice skating was. And I guess, you know, it wasn't popular with kids. It was popular with moms, who then took their kids to see ice capades.
And then was there the Canadian knockoff Ice Follies?
Is that a knockoff?
Or was it its own thing?
Like,
I'm sure Ice Capades was the thing, but then there's Ice Follies as well. What I always think when I see Ice Capades are those shows. You see these spectacular, amazing... You know, things with people jumping and spinning and all this. I'm like, well, these are the people
triple axles.
Yeah, these are the people that didn't win
doing
the Olympics.
These
are the people that didn't win the Olympics.
Sometimes, not always.
No, but for the most part, you know, there's all these people. And it reminded me of like when I saw the opening of the Olympics and you saw all these people doing amazing parkour and all this stuff. And I went like, yeah, but these aren't the best because the best are down there getting ready to do the thing.
Yeah.
These are second best or third or fourth at best. Oh, now I'm scared for them because I know they're not the best.
Well, but they're parkour, right?
Yeah.
But there's no parkour in the Olympics.
No,
so those
they're doing all the gymnastics.
That was
you think
the
if
best
you can parkour it, you could probably gymnastics it.
I don't know. I think
it's separate
discipline.
Yeah, it's all on the pole and bullshit.
I think it's a separate discipline.
Okay. Well, speaking of disciplines, back to dressage and...
our undisciplined conversation.
We do not keep our conversations on the beam. Our conversations are verbal parkour. Put that on our iTunes. We're verbal parkour. We're jumping from building to building with no idea where we're going to land.
Okay. I like it. I'm going to put that in there.
Call me Peter Parkour.
So on last night, she did her cross country, and for whatever reason, her horse Harris, who is a wonderful pony, but he decided, I think he got tricked because she did a practice round.
Right.
And I think he thought that was the round.
Okay.
And then when she did her actual round, I think he thought that was the jump off. So he was like balls to the walls. He was just like full out, almost galloping around. And... It was just wild, and Eve was barely, she was keeping up, but she was trying to control him, and he was not to be controlled. And so he decided to kind of land on top of two jumps. So he knocked over some rails,
and I
guess he was going so fast, and he just wasn't getting the proper spot to jump, and she was having some trouble controlling him. It was too bad. And then tonight, just as she was starting her round, a buzzer went off, and it kind of spooked him, and it seemed to distract him, and the very first jump, he just kind of got up to it, and then went, oh, I'm jumping? And then he just kind of crashed into it, and then knocked a rail down. So, yeah, it was unfortunate. So she came in third this year, so it was a bit of a fall, and I think she was very upset.
Okay, but she came in third.
Yeah, yeah.
That's incredibly impressive, though.
No,
right?
No, it's still good, but it's just, yeah. You know, you were first the year before, and then you come back, and you're third. You couldn't even make it second, you know, so... Sophomore slump. That's what I'm going to say.
Let me ask you a bigger question then at this point, and we'll throw this. Let's say the big question. Mm. Is it good now?
Is it good?
Is it good at the age that your daughter is at to win consistently?
And no, I don't think so.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like this isn't a bad thing.
No,
right?
No, I don't think it's a bad thing at all. And I think, to be a good athlete, you have to learn. It's not just being competitive, but it's also learning to put that behind you.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you listen to professional athletes talk, it's almost as if the game that's over doesn't exist anymore to them. You know, doesn't matter what they did, whether they had a great game or a terrible game, it's out of their minds and they're thinking about the next game. Mm-hmm. You know,
it's a weird thing for athletes when I see athletes talking, because there's really no winning with that conversation. Because if they did well, and they talk about how well they did, they sound like they're bragging.
Yes,
and it also sounds like bullshit, because there's a certain amount of luck. There's skill, obviously, but you know. And then if they do bad, and they sounds like they're making excuses.
Mm-hmm.
But if they do bad and they start complaining, it sounds like they're complainers.
Sure.
And if you do good, but you complain about the small thing, you're like, well, come on, you won.
Yeah.
You know. So there's no winning discussing something after like that.
That's true. That's true. I mean, there might be a part of that too. But even, you know, there'll be even things where, you know, say a record or some sort of notable thing is coming up or happening.
Right.
And they won't be aware of it because they just don't pay attention to the game in the way that we do from outside of the sport.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as spectators or media, we have a totally different take on the game than the players do.
Right.
You know what I mean? But I think it's very important, like we were saying before the show started, that I felt like Eve didn't put the time in to get the result that she wanted. And I hope that she learns from this that you have to, you know, you can't just get on your horse and expect to win. You have to put time into something in order to get the results you want.
And yet you still might put the time in and you still might come in third.
And you still might come in third because the people there are better than you. But
so for you, for you, the important thing is learning to put the time in, not that you're not a medal hound.
No, you know, no. Right. But you have to learn. Yeah, you have to learn the discipline. And I mean, what's nice about one thing I like about sports is that it teaches you. It teaches you something that's very difficult for us to learn in life, which is that sometimes you don't succeed, but that you have to keep on going even after that happens, even after embarrassing things happen to you. You know, in soccer, lots of players score own goals. They score on themselves because the ball takes a weird bounce.
Right.
And because the net's so big, it's easy. It happens in hockey too. Sometimes players will send the puck back to the goalie.
Right.
And the goalie's like, what? And then it's in the net, you know, and so that's embarrassing, but you have to get past that. If that could, you know, to me, that would crush me, you know, but I'm not a professional athlete, so I can't process it the way they do, you know. So I remember in grade 8 scoring an own goal playing in gym class.
Right.
You know, I meant to pass the ball over to another guy and it glanced off my foot and went into the net. And I wasn't a bad soccer player. I was a pretty good soccer player, but it was just, you know, a mistake and that's what happened. And of course, you get a lot of ribbing as a result of this.
Yeah, I remember like being playing basketball in like either 7th grade, I think. And my dad had come to the game and you know, I got the ball and I was trying to throw it at the hoop as you do, and I missed it. And it came right back to me and I got another throw and I threw it again and missed it. And it came back to me and I tried a third time and I missed it. And I could tell he was really embarrassed by that later. Like, you know, I got that vibe off him.
Sure.
And I now look back at that and go, fuck off on that, you know? Yeah. It's just like, it's a seventh grade kid playing a damn game. It's what's the thing? Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. It really, I think it really threw me off. Like
sports.
Sports generally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's funny. I loved playing sports as a kid. My problem was because I was an enormous giraffe. I had no muscle. I had no control of my body, so it's just this, you know, legs flailing, arms flailing.
You think you'd be good at basketball, being tall,
clumsy goof. Yeah, but you know, I just didn't have the muscle control to get the ball into the net.
Right.
You know, I'm tall, but in every other way, I'm, you know, a complete team liability. I was always chosen last for any sports team that, you know, in elementary school and stuff like that. So yes, that affected my view of sports, but it didn't stop me from liking playing them. And I got better because as I got older, my muscles caught up to my body.
I like this idea, though, of like, what do sports teach us and what's, you know, and I think there are too many people that focus. I mean, yeah,
it can teach you bad things and it can teach you good things.
Yeah, I mean, you know, to say the old cliche, you know, try but don't mind, you know, try your best.
Sure.
But if you don't succeed, don't wear it like a hair shirt.
Yes.
You know, for forever. And I don't think kids often get that second part. You know, they're coached hard to you know, win, mm-hmm. win.
Yeah.
And it's like when you don't win, then what?
Yeah.
Then what happens? And maybe it's changed now because both of my niece and nephew are very into sports.
Yeah.
Hockey and soccer.
Yeah.
And so maybe, you know, but I can tell like when my nephew goes through, like he's won a lot, like he does very, very well. So mm-hmm. he gets like the game puck a lot.
Sure.
And, you know, he scores, he's like the top scorer quite often. But when he goes through a period for a couple of games of not scoring, he really is down about it. Like
yeah.
really, really, really down. And to the point where it's just like, you know, and I want to just go, hey, but you know, I know it does matter, right?
Yeah,
I don't know
yeah.
how to balance it out and go like, sure. no, care.
Exactly.
But then somehow compartmentalize that and you know, only care when you're doing it, when you're practicing. And then, then when you're out of there,
yeah.
throw it away. But I don't know really how to get that across.
Yeah.
Because he wears it again, mm-hmm. like a very heavy weight, you know, in regular life afterwards.
It's interesting. Yeah, you're right.
It feels like that could be a good lesson to learn because like if for work, right? Like mm-hmm. whatever your job is like when you get home from your job, you know, people who come home and keep that job with them for at least a couple of hours, if not the whole time they're at home
yeah.
and never shake it off. Whereas like, no, care at your work about what you do. Then when you're home, unless you've got part of your job to do at home,
yeah,
you know, be home when yeah. you're home.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like that. I don't take my work home.
Mm-hmm.
No, my work isn't that much like a onerous work where it's gonna haunt me. But even when I was working a job that had more responsibilities, once the day ended, that ended. You know, I just did not think about it at all
right.
the next day. Because yeah, who wants work in their head? That's what a bore.
And I've seen a lot of people who as teenagers were very successful and won like lots and lots of awards.
Mm-hmm.
And I won a couple of awards too then. And yeah,
Bragger.
What's that? That's right. Teen brag. but then, yeah, what's that mean later? What's the,
yeah.
you know, it's like, you know, you don't really get awards later for,
yeah.
That's not what the world runs on are awards. Even at the highest level of awards, you get the award. That's great. Maybe your money goes up a little bit more. Maybe you get an opportunity or two more, but then you're still just doing the job and the thing that you're doing and whatever. And we both know two people who won Academy Awards.
Yes.
And every day they go and they just keep doing more stuff.
Yeah.
Just, you know, and they just keep
sure.
doing their thing.
I mean, it's something, I mean, if you, oh, my voice sounds weird. If you.
No, you always sound like this.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
This is, you have a very weird voice.
Thank you.
You don't. You have lovely tones. Sorry.
No, I can't. If you do something, it's nice to be. It's nice to get validation. And I think if mm-hmm. you look on your shelf,
yes,
and you have something like an Oscar or something like an Eisner Award,
right,
that's a nice feeling. You say people have recognized what I do has value.
Yes.
You know what I'm doing right now, they're not recognizing as having value.
But again, like you win. Okay, so you win the award, and let's
yeah.
say you know there's a couple of awards here. I haven't won these ones, but I've won some other things.
Sure.
Okay. So, but once you've won the award,
yeah,
that's a nice night.
Yes.
And you go hooray, and then people say good for you, and
yeah.
You know maybe send you a nice card, and you're like yay, it's good, and then you put it on your shelf.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and there it is on your
yeah.
shelf, and it's
yeah.
nice when people come over and they go what's that, and you can go oh it was this.
Mm-hmm.
But aside from that. It's weird to you, like if you mention it, you're a weirdo. You know, it's a weird thing
but
to bring up.
You
can't ever
it.
Bring it up, right?
Yeah, but it's not for other people; it's for yourself.
But what does it mean? Like, it means that once upon a time you did something
yeah.
that people liked.
No, it
and though, how does that affect you though? When you've got to still, when you're in the middle of doing it, it's like it's almost
well,
like
what if you're suffering a crisis of confidence?
All right, I am. Go
okay.
ahead. All right, I've had that before.
Okay, so you're having like this tough time. You're
yeah.
working through an issue, and you're like. I just can't write anymore, right? Or
yeah.
could I ever write?
And yeah.
On your shelf is something that says, yes, you can. Yes, people appreciate what you did.
You would think that, but I wonder if that,
okay.
you know, I wonder if that's the case because, you know, you can also get this, which is, you look at the, you know,
I'm
you
a
look,
phony.
Yeah, I'm a fucking phony.
Yeah,
and you just go like,
sure, that's
oh
a common...
well, that's why that happened. Oh, I understand. Da, 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 da.
Yeah, I understand.
You know,
that.
You know, I look at like, you know, I won an award for sketch comedy, dropping that name as well.
Yeah,
Canadian Comedy Awards. And but I look at the people who I was up against and just go, well, they're brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was just a fucking mistake. That's an error in judgment. And then you kind of go, but all awards are just kind of bullshit anyway. It's just arbitrary. It's fine. You know, it's nice to be nominated. It's nice to get the thing. Mm-hmm. And it was, again, it was a nice evening. I get to go up. I get to shake Dave Foley's hand.
Nice.
I get to have some people scowl at me on the way back to the seats. I get some people congratulating me on the way back to the seats.
Yeah.
I have some, you know, it's, and it's somewhat awkward. It's mm-hmm. somewhat not.
Yeah.
You know, it's fine. But yeah, you can go one of two things. One, you can either go, that was fraudulent.
Mm-hmm.
You could do that. That's the way you can write it in your own head if you want to.
You can do either.
Or you can do this one, which is the other one,
okay.
Which is, well, that's as good as it's going to get. All downhill from here. That was the thing, because you can't, what are you going to do?
I guess.
What are you going to do? Win another Academy Award? What are you going to do? Well, that'd be nice, I guess, if you do that. But yeah. You've then got to you're immediately back in the real world.
Mm-hmm.
And what is the real world? And you got to find a way of working through the real world. You
yeah,
know?
I agree with you. But, you know, for all your struggling, well, let's just take it to our show. I mean, people are very kind and they write us comments or they write us emails.
Right.
And they say nice things. And those have value, you know, because they validate something that we descend out into the ether.
Right.
And we just put it out there. We have no idea what people think about it when it goes out there.
Right.
We're not, unfortunately, we can't sit beside you while you listen to the show and
are you
see
saying
when
that's
you laugh.
Unfortunate?
Yes.
Yeah, that sounds horrific to me. Okay, go ahead.
Yes, unfortunately for everyone out there, we can't come over to your house and sit and stare at you while you listen to the show and go, what are you laughing at? Did you know what I mean?
There's
right?
Let me just say, this is a thing that I was actually thinking about.
Okay.
I was watching an old movie. It was from 1940s or whatever. And it was a murder mystery. Ooh. And I'm watching it. And then at one point I think oh, the person who was killed in this. Oh, they're really dead now. Oh, so is everyone. Everyone in this is dead.
Mm.
Everyone in this is dead. And I'm okay. What if there were ghosts? If you were a ghost, would you then go watch people watching your movie
yeah.
and just stare at them and just go, how are you enjoying the movie? And they're like, yeah, you probably would. Sure. Oh, shit. Now I don't want to watch stuff because people are...
Well, you have to believe in ghosts first, I guess.
Well,
but.
I sometimes think, you know, when they have the old thing about picture steals a bit of your soul
yeah.
when you get a picture taken.
Okay.
Well, then what does a movie take from
yeah,
you? And
yeah.
then I'm like, you're actually, what you are watching when you're watching old-time movies is you are watching ghosts.
Yeah.
You're watching people recreating over and over again the things they did in life. You're seeing it, you
mm-hmm.
know, but they can't, you know, they can't do anything different. They're
yeah.
in that pattern. They'll be repeating this for eternity. That's ghost business, man. But we happen to just to put it in a box and so it doesn't creep us out. If you saw that floating in your hallway, that'd be terrifying.
That's different, but actually...
And yet, and please enjoy the film.
You saying that makes me like movies even more than
yeah.
I do, especially old ones. That makes it even more interesting. Just the idea that it's someone... It is a recreation of the past, and you're seeing a remembrance of people who are long gone.
Yeah.
And yet, they still live on for us.
Yeah, you know? They're vital. They still make you laugh
yeah,
and cry.
Exactly.
They're in your memories.
I like that idea.
Yeah.
That makes me appreciate it even more. Actually, it doesn't creep me out.
It used to be
mm-hmm.
You would only be able to survive in their memories through dreams.
Yeah.
And then they would recreate you in their dreams. But now we got this going on, so it's all good. But back to the idea of awards. I don't know if we train, training might not be the right word. I don't know if we deal with winning and losing well and teach kids what to do when you win and what to
yeah.
do when you lose.
Well, I think, okay. I think
so at the end of
the
year, you win an award and what do you do?
Okay, but it's also based on your personality too, right?
Right.
Some people take it differently than you might.
Sure, okay.
Right? Some person gets an award and they just go right off the rails. You know, their ego runs amok.
Okay.
Or a person wins an award. And
are you saying Cuba Gooding Jr. right now?
Did his ego go
with that film Gay Boat and Snow Dogs?
Gay Boat?
Well, it wasn't called Gay Boat, but that's what it was. It was,
okay.
You know, it's a straight guy,
yeah.
but he's working on a boat. Everyone on the boat is gay. Oh, boy, here we go.
Oh, the hijinks.
Yeah, that's it. Or they're dogs.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't know how to handle dogs. He's
yeah.
in the snow with them. It's crazy. Let's show the one scene where they talk. in the trailer. Okay. And you'll think the dogs talk, but they don't. Mm-hmm. He was hallucinating. Much like if you ever saw that movie with the kangaroo. Kangaroo Jack? Where he's like, I'm a rapping kangaroo. I'm here to say. You know, that bullshit. That's only one scene. And the rest of it, he's just a fucking kangaroo through the whole thing. Okay. Don't just show me the one talking scene and make me think he's talking. Anyway.
Your complaints are noted. But I think, like, having played many team sports or some team sports.
I thought you were going to say Dungeons and Dragons.
Having played Dungeons and Dragons, you learn to work as a team. I think we can all agree
that's actually
that.
Not bad. At Dungeons and Dragons, you do actually have to work as a team.
To some degree, but I think there are players who will work against the team just because of their personalities or that sort of person, enough. Right? But I when you play team sports, you do something I think that is super important and I still love so much in real professional sports, which is cheering the other team.
Yep.
Hip, hip, hooray for the other team.
Yep.
Whether you lose or win,
yep.
You congratulate the other players. There's a great little bit of, or in professional sports now, let's say during hockey playoffs, you know, there's the line of players. They'll skate along and shake each other's hands and pat each other on the head and stuff like that.
You've seen the video of the young boys and one team
I love
is
it,
Japanese.
Yeah. The Barcelona team and then the Japanese team. And it was for a soccer tournament, which took place in Japan. So the Japanese players are just destroyed that they lost.
Yeah, that's right. 0-1.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it's soccer.
I understand, but it's important to say that it's that close.
That close a game, yeah.
And yeah, and the Japanese kids are devastated, mm-hmm. and the other kids are like just comforting them and rubbing rubbing their heads and like it's okay and how are ya? Come on, and it's great to see. It really warms your heart.
It is because it seems that that's at its best. That's team sports.
Yeah,
that idea of. Mutual support and carrying each other to a goal, you know?
Yeah.
And even recognizing that in the other team, that how much they gave of themselves, even though they lost, they gave of themselves to the utmost to win that game.
Well, it's nice that when you cheer for the home team, if they don't win, it's a shame. But it's 1-2-3 strikes, you're out.
Yeah.
When you're bowling.
At the old ball game.
That's
not how it works. Anyway.
Yeah, you just have to go three things.
I'm going to remember that.
They really do play up the us versus them thing. Like the other team, they're the enemies. Oh, hell with those guys.
Yeah.
And, you know, our team are the greatest and we're going to be the best.
Yeah.
And but bottom line, you know, in pro sports.
Are you still talking about bowling?
Yes, I'm talking about bowling.
Okay.
But bottom line in sports, you know, the two teams have more in common with each other than they do with the crowd.
Yes, it's the crowd that I think is, I mean.
And so, when they're shaking hands, it's like, we're all the same.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I might be on, if it's pro sports, I might be on your team next year.
Yes.
You know, we mix this up.
Yeah,
you know, no one here is actually from this town.
Yeah.
You know, we just got hired to be here, but we all get each other, right?
Yeah,
so,
you
know, it's nice if they do have that at the end and it kind of breaks down like that.
Yeah, it's interesting. I just was thinking, what do you think then about everyone getting like participation medals or whatever, mm-hmm. or participation ribbons, let's say.
I mean,
that's a controversial thing, this idea that
everyone
gets participation ribbons. And so I have a feeling about it, but I just wonder what your...
Oh, my feeling is I'm for it because it's nice to have something for, you know, you can say to kids, try your best, but it doesn't matter if you win or lose.
Mm-hmm.
But okay, if it doesn't matter if you win or lose, then you should get something if you lose because you tried your best.
Yeah.
And that's what the ribbon is. It's like you came, you tried your best.
Yeah.
That's valid. And because all ribbons are just a memory of the thing you did.
Sure.
So you can take that, you can put it wherever you want, and you can remember that this is something tangible. But if you say it doesn't matter if you win or lose, but the only people who win get a thing, well, then you're full of shit. And by the way, the ribbon for winning doesn't fucking matter the next week, you know? And the winner, you win at the, you know, whatever the trophy is at the end of everything. That's fine. I've got bowling trophies. Mm-hmm. You know, I've got some big bowling trophies of shit that I won. But what's it matter? You know, the next year you're back at it and you're just starting from scratch again and here you go. So my feeling just generally is none of it really matters trophy-wise. That doesn't matter. The game matters. The playing matters. The things you learn in the game matters. The trophies don't matter. So if you want to give a ribbon to someone...
I think they do matter to the players. I think there is a goal to the game. There's a goal to their season.
Yeah.
And I think kids recognize that participation ribbons are kind of phony. I think they know that. I'm sure they're okay getting it. But I don't think it's in no way equal to getting first place, you know? And I think if every player, you know, if say there's teams competing in a tournament, and then, you know, they play in the round robin, and eventually one team comes out on top, and then they all get ribbons
right.
for that, and all the same ribbons. You know, the team that won, they know they won.
Right.
You know, and everyone else knows that the ribbons they got are just so much
matter?
Stuff. Well, that's
You're
exactly
just kids
right.
playing. You know, so it's like true, at the end of a at the end of a little league season, you're all just still kids who are playing
sure.
baseball for something to do. Yeah.
But when you get that trophy,
it feels nice for the day you get it. You put it on your shelf. It feels nice there. And then that's it. But what is it really? It's really nothing. It really does mean nothing. You winning. It's a symbol to give you a memory. It's something
yeah, yeah.
tangible.
No, I agree.
You know,
I agree with you.
But the winning the game. You know, even if the winning the game is what matters. Well, you've already had that.
Yeah.
You don't need now a little cup to say it happened and prove it's real.
But it's nice.
It is nice because kids like getting shit.
Yeah.
They like getting shit out of a machine for $2. You give them a little toy. They'll keep that fucking thing forever.
A little bubble toy.
That's right. And if you get something out of a claw machine, that fucker's going to be with them till college. They like stuff. They like getting things. Yeah.
I kept my soccer trophies for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But
it feels like what you know, you want to be teaching what matters and then what really matters.
No, I agree with you.
And what
you.
Symbolically is like sure. a nice little gesture.
Sure, I agree with you. And what's most important, like with, say, with Eve's riding, to go back to where we started from,
sure.
what's really important to me is that she has parents who are involved with something in her life that's
right.
important to her.
And that's the memory.
Supporting her.
Yeah.
You know, or there, you know, that her dad, like Lisa's dad, never went to a show to watch Lisa ride. In her whole life, never went to see her ride.
Did he pay for it all?
I suppose he did. I mean, okay. I suppose with his, she and her mom. Her mom was there, of course, at every show. But
do you think maybe the dad thought that was his? Because that I feel like it's what dads thought back then was like.
Maybe,
I go to work and I pay so that you can do the lessons that you mm-hmm. love. That's my part of it.
I guess. I mean, my dad coached me in soccer, so
right.
You know, that was. A little bit, you know, his involvement was a bit different. Like, maybe that's how they thought. I don't know. I kind of feel like if that's what you thought, then you're a ripoff, you know, as a dad.
It could be, but we sometimes talk about judging the past with present.
Yeah, it's feelings. Hard to
because we feel right now mm-hmm. we're thinking two income household, mom and dad are equal, mom and dad doing the same amount of shit.
Yeah,
but back in the day, probably I'm going to assume that did your wife's mom work?
Yes.
Oh, she also worked.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, fuck it then. Yeah, the hell with that guy. Sorry to say the hell with that guy.
Let's not get too carried away.
My thing with my dad, my mom didn't work until later on.
Yeah.
When times got tough, but yeah, you know, she would do the mom stuff, but then my dad would pay for the stuff, and you know, he'd be working all day to pay for the stuff. So when he came home, he would just rest up because he was like working hard all day.
Yeah.
And then you know, my mom would do the mom stuff.
I don't know. I just feel like
which is a very different thing than now.
I just feel like no. You know?
Okay.
But I'm sure your dad came to see you perform in plays when you were a kid, when you did.
Yeah, no,
did
and
plays.
He would. He would drive me to rehearsals for shows and stuff.
Yeah,
I think he enjoyed that too. I think you know, once in a while he would like, you know, he would sometimes be in a show or something as well. You know, he had a bit of the inner ham in him, so so he dug it.
Sure.
But why do you think? Sorry to get into family stuff, but why do you think her dad didn't come to things like that?
Her dad's kind of odd. He's a very strange dad. Like, I guess he does have a little bit of the 50s dad in him. But I think part of it is he just can't be bothered. You know, like, he doesn't like to be beholden to anyone or be obliged to do something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it has to be his own choice. And I guess, I don't know. It's odd. Like, yeah, he just wanted nothing. Like, I never really saw him look after the horses or anything. It just wasn't what he was interested in.
Right. And Lisa, again, I'm sorry to keep justifying it, but it's like, it is very the tail end of that era mm-hmm. of dadding.
Yeah. Fine, justify it. You know, go ahead. Make excuses. I'm just saying, you know, for Lisa, it's important that we are, you know, that I think she loves that I'm there.
Yeah.
You know, so I think it's important that you know, what family sports or what family activities like, you know, obviously I'm not riding with Eve or sitting beside her or whatever, but she knows that I'm watching her and supporting her, and I'm not, you know, there's no condemnation from me. There's going to be no.
Except on the podcast where you slam her right now.
Did I slam her?
No.
I hope I didn't slam her. I mean, no, I wasn't intending to slam her. I did say something critical about her, but
no. That's fine. I just think like, you know, like 20 years from now, I don't know if the awards are going to be remembered as fondly.
No, not at all.
You know, as the time you guys spent together doing that kind of stuff. Yeah,
sure.
And I would think like just maybe it's bullshit too, but I think about almost anything is like the award is a nice thing, but the thing is the thing, you know, over time that you would, you know, remember, and the work you did with people and no matter what it is, you know, that's the stuff. Awards are fine, but they just feel like, they feel like getting a t-shirt that said, I did a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, yeah, that's nice. But the thing is definitely the thing.
Oh, yeah. At home, we have this, I mean, this is small sampling, but we have this, you know, big tote, like a big plastic tote. Like, it's huge, like a big tote, like not a small one, just gigantic.
I don't know what you're saying when you're saying tote, like a tote bag?
Like, no, like a, or like a plastic storage box, like a storage bin or whatever.
Oh, I understood. Okay.
Sorry. I don't know if that's a tote. But anyway, one of those big storage bins is just stuff from... It's full of ribbons.
Yep.
That he's won over the years. And yes, you're right. They have no meaning for her. Like if they're under second, she just does not want to know about it. She's just like, whatever. Throw it in the box, Dad. But yeah, I mean, first is important because, you know, that's winning. That's a real achievement.
Yeah.
The rest of it is just so much chaff to her. It's interesting. And yeah, I think you're right. I think, you know, the riding and stuff is important. She loves her horse and everything like that. But what she's going to remember about this year is her dad trying the deep-fried pickle dog.
And surviving.
And I didn't enjoy it much, so.
Okay, all right, let's talk about that. deep-fried
pickle dog.
So do they hollow out a pickle and put a hot dog inside?
That is correct.
And then they batter it.
Batter
and
that.
And then they put it in some hot fat.
Hot fat.
And then you put it in your mouth.
I put it in my mouth.
And then it goes through your body.
I said,
does irreparable damage.
Very quickly. Okay. I said, I bit into it, and I said, you know what, guys? I don't really care for pickle that much. This is a lot of pickle.
Quick question. Dill pickle?
It's a dill pickle.
Okay.
But, you know, it has to be big. It can't be small. It's got a hot dog in it. Like, so it's not a, like, you know, when you have, like, dill pickles at home, I like, you know, if I'm having them, I slice them up. So I'm not, like, having a whole dill pickle. And then.
Well, this isn't a whole dill pickle either. It's hollowed out, right?
Well, yeah, I know. But it's still huge. And then the other thing is, it's so big, the seeds are ginormous in it.
Mm.
So you, like, bite it and it's juicy, pickled juice everywhere. And then giant, big, like, almost pumpkin-sized seeds are, like...
You're not getting a quality pickle, probably. You're not deep-frying a quality pickle.
Yeah, I just feel like... You know, I love corn dogs. I get one every year, you know.
Do you put mustard on?
Yeah.
Ketchup?
No.
Just mustard?
Only mustard, yeah.
Okay, good.
What are you, the heathen? But...
Do you eat it really hot, or do you let it cool down a little bit?
Well...
Put it in your mouth? Burn your mouth?
Yeah, I don't want to burn my mouth, no.
Okay.
But yes, it should be hot, like a cool one. But yeah, I have it once a year. We, you know, the peony, I'll go get a corn dog before I go. But... I kind of ruined it this year by having a pickled dog. God damn it.
You can still have another.
No, I'm not going back. And I it was too late.
Okay.
I did have a deep fried Mars bar, though. That was good.
Mm-hmm. You know, the deep fried Oreo cookies are better than you expect.
Yeah?
Yeah.
They had a choice.
Because it heats up the cream inside. It makes it kind of soft. It's nice.
I think it's good. I mean, I had deep fried butter a couple years ago, and it was good, too.
Was watching a show yesterday where they deep fried a couple of things. Deep fried an apple. It was all right. They seemed to like that. The deep fried popcorn didn't work because you can't taste the popcorn.
Yeah,
you just taste the batter. Mm. Then they deep fried a corn on the cob.
How'd that
Apparently
work?
That was quite good.
Okay.
Like a whole corn on the cob.
Hmm.
So you're like biting in and then you get the corn. And they were talking about all the different things you could deep fry.
My friend, when he used to live in an old house on 208th and Langley, on the street Langley. And he had a big wood stove in his front yard.
Mm-hmm.
And he would get it going. Put a bunch of wood in it, get it really nice and hot, boil oil on it, and then put bananas into it, like banana slices.
Sure.
And those were good. They weren't battered. They were just put into the oil.
Oh, yeah. Deep fried bananas. Great.
It was good.
You can get that at most, not most, but you can get that at quite a few Japanese restaurants here. You'll get
And in my friend's front yard.
Yeah, that's true. But what did he then as well? Take that deep fried banana, put a little ice cream there, a little chocolate sauce on top. Because if he did not, and did he throw some Pop Rocks on top of it? Because if he didn't, he did not get the full fucking experience.
That sounds crazy.
No, it sounds delicious.
Pop Rocks?
I know. It works, though. It works. Something sweet like that. Nice little Pop Rocks.
You have to be really careful. Good. You can't drink a Coke after that because you'll die.
That's right. That's what happened to Leave It to Beaver.
So he died?
He died in Vietnam. And the sad thing was, then they kept using him in all the remakes of the shows, like later. I'm like, oh, give it up.
He's dead.
He's
why,
dead.
Why are you guys still...
It explains his
he
acting.
He died from Pop Rocks that he ate in Vietnam. Is that...
It really looked like when he was in the adult version of it, he just walked into scenes and just wanted to turn to the audience going, I got bills to pay. So anyway, here we go.
Do you think that's what he...
I don't know. It didn't look like...
I think he was kind of still playing the character, though. The character was always kind of...
Yeah, but he should be... He should have his act together by now. Otherwise, the lessons he learned as a kid were fucking useless, right?
Mm-hmm.
Still repeating the same mistakes?
Yes.
Yeah. I wonder if that guy ever won any awards.
Before I ever saw that show, I saw the SCTV parody of it.
Yeah.
So that kind of colored my view of the show.
Yeah.
So
the guy that played Eddie Haskell actually did a nice job as the adult version of Eddie Haskell.
Okay. Okay.
That kind of smarmy character translates well to an adult version.
Okay.
And then later on, he became an actual police officer.
Really?
Which must be very weird when you're pulled over by him. Not as weird, though, as when you're pulled over
by
Ponch from Chips.
Yes.
Because that actor, Eric Estrada, is now an actual cop. That
real cop, or is he real, like a sheriff of some small town?
I don't fucking know. He's something. He's
like, in, you know, because those are just elected guys. They're not.
Okay.
It's not real.
All right, play it that way.
It's not real.
Call me. Call me on it.
I just called you.
That's
on
why
it.
We don't win any awards. You know what? This kind of back and forth. If you just back me up, we could get we could win the potties next potty mouth awards.
The potty mouth awards.
Yeah.
We should start our own awards and we could win them.
Yeah, that's pretty much how things work in Canada. That is pretty much how things work in Canada. The Canadian Comedy Awards are not miles away from that. Well, they don't exist anymore, but they're not miles away from...
The guy who ran them stopped?
Okay. the guy... This is all... Okay, what can I say? This is all public knowledge. This is all out there. The guy that ran them got into a fight with somebody that he shouldn't have gotten to a physical fight with, and that kind of stopped the awards.
Really?
Yeah.
Got into a physical altercation at the award ceremony?
No, but around the award ceremony.
Okay, okay.
Things got ugly, and basically everything just fell apart. So, yeah, it was like, well, then you can't be part of this anymore. And he went, well, who else is going to be part of it? And then no one wanted to be part of it.
Okay.
He wanted to pick up the torch,
yeah.
And so the awards kind of fell apart.
Mm.
But, you know, I mean, you look at, like, in BC, we got the Leo Awards, and there's a little bit of that. We're just like, let's just start an awards, and now it's an awards, and it's fine. Been nominated for those.
What about the Jessies? Is that a local one as well?
Yep.
So there's two different local awards.
I have won a Jessie Award as well.
You have?
Yep.
So which one
Let's mention awards I've won and awards I've lost. I've lost five Leo Awards. I've never won a Leo Award.
You've never won a Leo?
I have won a Jessie Award. Yeah.
Good. Jessies are better.
Yep.
You've won a Canadian Comedy Award.
Okay.
Did you win a Juno?
No, that's for music.
Did you win a Gemini? Have you been nominated for a Gemini?
I have been part of a show that won an ACTRA award and the ACTRA awards then later kind of got divided into the Genies and the Geminis.
What are the Genies?
The Genies are for film.
What are the Geminis? The
Geminis are for television.
Television, okay.
So no, I have not been nominated for... No, wait, have I been nominated for a Gemini? I think we were nominated for Gemini for Street Sense, yes.
Okay.
But the... But I know for sure my friends who have been on the show, Louise Moon, Roger Fredericks, they did win Gemini Awards.
Wow.
The ACTRA Award, which later became the Gemini Award, a season I wrote for Switchback, won for that.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So Leo? No.
And there was a New York Film Award. Also, I won one of those for an episode of Street Sense that I wrote.
Is that called the Yorkie?
No. Yeah. It was a very cute award, though. It was like two little cartoon, birds, like a mom bird and a baby bird drawn by kids in crayon. And it's a very nice looking award. It's real pretty.
Your award?
Yeah, it's an award.
Some guy in his apartment made that. It's not even a real award.
It's not a guy in his apartment. It's kids.
Yeah, he just got his kids to draw the picture and send it to you.
Yeah, you list
the awards. I can't believe
you
fell for that.
List them. List them then.
I have one on awards. Trying to think now.
This feels like a dick move on my part, flipping us around.
I haven't won any awards.
Won a theater award in high school.
You did?
Yeah, but then so did two other people. They split it in three.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's meh.
Look, generally, if you're in Canada and you hang around long enough, you'll win an award if you do anything for a while.
I just think it's funny that in Canada, which has a pretty small population for a country our size.
Right.
You know.
Oh, could I mention something about an award? Oh, you've got a good point to make. So you do it, then I'll do a shout out.
I was just going
to
say, we have an awful lot of awards. For the country that's so small, I mean, why not? We don't really have a film industry. Our film industry is making films for other countries.
We don't. Quebec does. If you take Quebec out of it, then we don't. But if you do leave Quebec in, holy shit, we've got a good film industry.
But they probably have their own set of awards.
I'm sure they do.
That we don't even know about because we don't speak French.
But speaking of awards, Kathleen Gross just got nominated for her Wormwood, who's friend of the show.
Yes.
Just got nominated for Schuster Award for her Wormwood High webcomic.
Schuster Award, you've won a Schuster.
I have not won a Schuster. I've been nominated 5 times for a Schuster, but I've never won. My wife has won a Schuster Award, which is probably what you're looking at, because it's probably somewhere here in this office right now. But yeah, she's, is it hanging on the wall? Nope, it's somewhere else. But yeah, she's won one.
Just before we go on.
This sounds like a dick move, but like me saying this, but the second I started getting nominated for American awards, I stopped getting nominated for Canadian awards, which is just a little something that sometimes happens.
You're too big for them.
I don't think that's...
But let's say congratulations to Kathleen for that. That's great.
Right.
That's great because it's a great book and you deserve it.
And also Cloudscape got nominated themselves for an anthology they did, the name of which I cannot think right now, and I'm so sorry. But congratulations to all the Cloudscape folks for that.
Megafauna? Or is it
no, it wasn't for that. Otherwise, I would have been going, hey, I was in that, but I wasn't.
Was it,
I think it was their tribute to awards.
Is that right?
Yeah. Everyone had to do a comic about how great awards were and nominating committees and how they're the greatest people in the world.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
That one. Trophy Wives? No. What is it? What would it be called? I'm trying to think here. I don't know. Got nothing. I got nothing. Damn it.
You're not going to. Well, at least you tried. Here's a participation ribbon. Trying that bit.
Wasted Dais? I don't know.
Wasted Dais is not bad. That sounds more like drunk speeches people made, you know, at daises. Or you could just have, you know, some extreme ones and call it Deus Ex Machina.
Yeah.
No, that Maxima. Fuck, I got nothing. I'm going to take the participation ribbon back. I'm going to hang it on my own damn wall there. I like that I did some mime there.
We're trying to think of something here, folks, but it's not working out for us. The Peony this year.
Right.
I think
speaking of prizes, they have a prize home.
It's a nice home this year.
Yeah.
And here's an interesting thing, everyone.
Go ahead.
The garage door is from our company, the company I work
for. Oh, nice.
Yeah, and actually staged it so I know my handwriting is on the end caps on one side of the door.
Oh,
you can't
nice
see it,
one.
Of course, because it's in the tracks.
Oh, cool, cool.
But yeah, it's a pretty nice door, actually. I have a picture taken beside it. My wife took a picture.
Here was my idea, because I noticed that they had 3 haunted houses at the P&E this year. One is
A little too much.
A little too much. But here's what I think they should do.
Leftovers from their Fright Nights.
And oh, is that right?
They do like a couple months
October,
scary stuff.
What I think they should do is they should have the Dream Home, and then
Dream
next
home?
To it, they should have the Scream Home.
Oh, sorry. No, I stepped on your line. I'm sorry.
No, you
sorry.
Stepped on my line, which is fine.
I'm sorry.
I put it on Facebook, so it's already copyrighted then. But yeah, it would be kind of fun. Like, you'd line up for the Dream Home, and then like, okay, now let's go into the Scream Home.
Mm-hmm.
And you almost do like a parody of the Dream Home.
Then so you go into the barn next door, the Cream Home.
Sure. There you are. Any more?
I got nothing.
Okay.
You fall into the ocean, the Bream Home?
Steam Home.
the sauna.
Steam Home is a big sauna. It's a steam home. And there you are. Did you, when you were at the P&E, try the Oculus in the home of the future, which is completely different, the TELUS home of the future?
We did walk through it. I did not look through the VR thing. I offered it to Eve, and she said, no, it's too creepy.
It is creepy.
Okay.
But here was the creepy bit. Like, you put it on your head. Both my wife and my sister-in-law went, too heavy. Did not care for it. Too heavy.
Okay.
I did not notice it being heavy at all.
Yeah.
So I'm putting it on. And it's nice because my wife also is farsighted. She's like, I probably won't be able to use this, but they got a little switch up there that you can roll. And it fixes it. So, yeah, you're fine.
Hmm.
But so you get like things like you're in outer space and like, oh, that's nice. And you're in a boat and it's like, oh, looking around. One of the really nice ones is you're having dinner in this I want to say teepee, but it's not a teepee, but it's somewhere in Asia. And so you're looking around at everyone eating.
You're having it.
It could be. It could have been, yeah. And you're looking around and you're at dinner and it's like, oh, this is really interesting. But there's one where it's a guy who's kind of not juggling fire, but he's got like fire torches and he's in front of you, like pushing, getting the torches a little too close to you. You're like, oh, I don't much care for this. Huh? I think I'm going to turn around and see if I can see the torches coming like over my head.
Yeah.
I turn around. What I don't know is this is a Cirque du Soleil segment.
Okay.
And there's clowns behind me. And they're all looking at me and they're laughing. And it's pitch black aside from Flame Guy.
Yeah.
And you turn around and you don't expect a pack of clowns.
No.
And it's your first time in virtual reality.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know what I said, but it was something like, what's house with all the goddamn clouds. It was just like really scary. Really scary. It took a while to shake it off.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was nice. You had like an elephant. I think it was an elephant coming at you. And there was one where you're on a, one that I think you'd like, you're on a basketball court and a guy's like running by and like, you know, gets the
scoring. It certainly feel like old times.
Yeah, it really did. But you feel like you're right there and like, oh shit, this would be an interesting way to watch a game. Yeah. So anyway, that's kind of, no, I think it would be.
To be just on the court?
Yeah. I think like be on the court.
I guess it'd be neat a little bit, but most game, like team games, you need to be like above the game to see this plays happen. But
maybe. Yeah. It was interesting though.
Like, what do I know? I'm old. I'm old.
That was really worth seeing for me. And virtual reality apparently is coming to the Xbox and the PlayStation this Christmas, meaning it will be expensive and terrible. And then by next year, it'll be holy shit, life changing.
Yeah. 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 I think my experience of the House of Tomorrow or the future, whatever, is we walked through, then we left, and I had his turn and said, oh, the future sucks.
Well, the first thing that happened to me, you know,
the door didn't work.
It didn't. That was the thing. The door opens.
Yeah.
And both Pia and Vicky go through, and then it slams shut on me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, fucking Tomorrowland. Sure. I'm getting killed by the door already.
You know what should have been playing the whole time you're there is dun 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 dun.
You're not wrong. Then they had the scale, and you're like, who wants the scale? But this, you got on the scale, and the scale just like pretended.
It just pretends. Yeah.
It's just pretend.
Yeah.
It's like, well, don't pretend.
Yeah.
I can pretend.
You're dying.
Yeah. And then they have a thing where
it's going to be sent to your doctor. Like, okay, here's like
your doctor wakes up. Why are you weighing yourself at 4 a.m, you prick? Why am I getting your weight?
Why am I? And that's the thing. Like, is our doctor's office going to be able to deal with this sudden volume of emails coming with all these sort of, you know, health factors and
stuff?
Well,
I think the idea then is the doctor can just do stuff from his house because he's virtual too. He's giving you the virtual prostate exam.
Yeah,
and you gotta put the glove on the robot hand at your house and then go to town.
It's so meaningless.
Well, here was the other thing that was like, I know you think this is a selling point. It sure as fuck ain't. Which was they had the little living room set up there with the 4K TV. By the way, from what I've heard, don't go for the 4K TV. 8K is just around the corner. Don't spend a lot of money on 4K.
Okay.
8K is coming. Wait it out.
Hey, okay.
Yeah. So you're there and you can like be watching TV and they got like watch, you know, Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Okay.
So that's the clip you want to show? You want to show him fighting the Rhino? Oh, no, you don't.
Three, you mean then? Three.
No, two. Amazing Spider-Man 2 is him fighting the Rhino.
Oh,
Andrew Garfield.
One.
Yeah.
The James
Paul
Garfield.
Paul Giamatti.
With the president, James Garfield.
That's right.
Spider-Man.
But, you know, you remember Paul Giamatti as a Spider-Man villain? You don't? Of course you don't. Why would you? But that's the clip they're showing.
Yeah.
So you're watching that and you're like, okay, well, I guess it's all right. And then it's like, ring, ring, and it's Janet. And a big Janet face comes up. And it's like, Janet's calling you while you're watching the show. Do you want to acknowledge Janet's there? And you can either go...
Well, that does happen now.
Yeah.
If you have Telus TV, which I do.
You click on it, and then does Janet...
see
her in her living room?
It doesn't... It's not set up yet for that. But it'll show you who's calling on your TV screen while you're sitting watching.
Well, a big face of Janet
appears... Oh, it says toll-free.
Oh, nice. You know. And Janet, fills your screen.
It's the CRA calling.
Lovely. And there's her face, and you're like, this is bad. I don't want this. I just want...
do FaceTime and stuff like that. What's the
But you don't want a big mug, like, and when you're watching TV, you don't want the big face. I don't want my face on your TV if I'm trying to call you about, like, Hattie. It's like, no. Everyone in the room is like, ugh, it's that jerk. And then if you click it, you're like, what you doing? It's like, we're watching TV. You can clearly see that.
Yeah.
Because we're all sitting here watching TV. Yeah, yeah. And like the natural thing she would then say is, oh, I'm sorry, I don't want to interrupt you, but she's I got big news. I'm like, no, you're a bad person because not caring.
You're
that
interrupting
you...
Jeopardy.
That's right,
Janet.
This is terrible. Why aren't you texting? What year are
damn
we in
it, Janet.
House of the future. Yeah, exactly. So that was like no dice on that. And then you could also do a thing like on your kitchen counter where you could take a pear and you could put it on a circle and it would go, this is a pear. That's great. Thanks, scanner.
What a nice pair.
Scanner Darkly.
If it said what a nice pair, it would have been better.
They also had one where you could talk to your doctor, but it was broken. The TV was broken.
Okay.
And but you could make noises on it. And so some kids were just playing with the noises. And they're like, don't
cooler.
Play with the noises. I was like, okay, we're not letting kids play in the future, I guess.
That sounds more fun. Yeah, I walked in there. Well, actually, I invented a new term for waiting in line for a long time for the roller coaster because we went the Saturday before.
You didn't pay for the speedy front of the line.
No, I did
bullshit.
Not pay for the zip line or whatever they call it.
Where they give another roller coaster to get you to the front of the line of that roller coaster.
There was a ton of people there and they were running one car. Like, it was just dumb, or one set of cars.
Bullshit.
I said, I think I'm suffering from P-on-wee. So I think that's something new for the P-N-E this year.
Were you going on the old-timey roller coaster?
Oh, of course. That's the only one to go on. The other one, you know,
it's fine.
Like that's fine, but you know, you're so strapped in. Like, even though you do like a corkscrew, you're like, well, I mean, what's the worst that can happen? I mean, besides the
What is that? What you want from a roller coaster? Is,
well, I just mean
think
you,
the worst
you
can
want
happen?
You want a sense of pretend risk, like an element of you know, like what? Why else are you on it? Like, I'm indifferent to going fast in a circle. So you know, like when you go on the old roller coaster, you have a real sense of like impending death,
right?
You know, like. For one thing, it looks like it's going to fall apart any minute, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's just made of, like, slats of wood. They look like they're 100 years old. Like, they look older than the actual roller coaster is, which was built in, like, the
50s. I remember, like, yeah, Province headline.
56,
they,
actually.
Where they're talking about how the roller coaster, yeah, something did snap at one point, and it rolled back on the way up, and it was like, oh!
That's
well,
good.
This is,
the
and
chain,
is,
I
is
guess.
Is this the end of the roller coaster? It's like, nope, they just got a new chain.
Yeah, there it's you go. It, the only mode of power on it is, yeah, the chain that brings you to the top of the... And it's, you know, it's designed like any classical roller coaster, which is that it slows down as you get towards the end. Because it's all the impetus
momentum.
Is from that first, yeah, all the momentum is from that first two hills. And then in order, and to make up for the fact that it's slowing down, it just puts more and more bumpy, quick turns and up and downs. But what's fun about that roller coaster, especially for a tall goof like me, is that, you know, when you hit those hills, you are thrown out of your seat.
Yeah.
You know, bum out of your
seat.
Yeah,
I do remember that.
Against a simple little bar.
There's some floating. Yeah, there's some grabbing onto that bar.
Yeah, like on the corkscrew one.
Yeah.
That's got like the full head, you know, thing that clamps down over your chest.
Yeah,
and
I like
just
that,
like,
but that's me.
You're just snuggled into this thing. It's like, it doesn't feel like you're any kind of danger or element of fear.
It feels
or
like
anything.
A participation ribbon to you.
Yes, exactly right.
Yeah,
it's,
what was the
it's
point
a
of this?
Participation
I
ribbon
feel
a roller coaster.
I want to think there's a serial killer in the...
want to have that feeling of, you know, like when you get to the top of that old roller coaster and you look down and you're... All your confidence in the construction of this thing just disappears. Like, it doesn't matter how many times you've gone on it, you're suddenly just like, oh, fuck.
That was just reminding me, like, my friend Shane, who's been on the show as well. Everyone we know has been on the show eventually. If you know us, you're going to be on the show eventually.
Sure.
And if you haven't been on the show twice, don't think it's because we dislike you.
Yeah.
We're just lazy, and it's easier for us to do the show ourselves sometimes.
And everyone who's been on the show has got a participation ribbon.
That we should.
Yes.
T-shirt.
Thanks for trying.
Oh, man, we should just make participation T-shirts. Shane was on the Star Wars ride, and one of the things they do in the Star Wars ride at Disneyland or somewhere that they're doing.
I've not been on
it.
That.
It must be Disneyland.
Are you thinking Star Wars ride or the one that's Space Mountain?
Star Wars.
Okay.
Because because one of the things that happens in the Star Wars ride is they talk to one of the people in your group beforehand and just go, "You're going to be the traitor." And let you know, don't tell anyone. And then when you get on, you're told, there's a traitor among you.
Mm.
And it's like, oh. And then they do little video things of showing everybody's face. But Shane looks almost exactly like Ewan McGregor. And he had the beard and everything. And immediately everyone just went, well, him. It's him. He's the guy. This is the guy. He's the Star Wars guy. Clearly the Star Wars guy. And it was him. And they were all like, yeah, just him. Of course it's him. That guy. Yeah, you're Star Wars. 100% Star Wars. Yeah, it's him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Bad choice.
They used to do a thing with the aliens experience in London that I really liked, which would they would have one plant and so you're going through the aliens experience and in the lineup beforehand, you know, you all start talking with each other and one of them, you know, has a guy's just talking to you about, you know, he's from there and does this and he's kind of a very likable person and he's the first person killed.
Oh.
Yeah. You think he's a real guy.
Yeah.
And then like the alien bursts through the wall, grabs the guy and he graphically gets killed and you're like, run! They're like, fucking run! Steve got it! Holy shit! What's this about? And even though, you know, clearly Steve was a plant, you're like, no! I don't, this really throws me off because I related to this guy. I bonded with him and now Steve knows my secrets.
The other good thing about our roller coaster, classic wooden roller coaster.
Emotional roller coasters we're talking about.
This emotional roller coaster that we have here at town.
Called Life.
Is that it's short.
Mm.
It's not long. It's, you know, a very short, terrifying ride. We went on the, not at Disneyland, but at the place next door, which I believe is called California Adventure.
Okay, yeah.
They have a pretend, like, end of the pier amusement park. kind of like Palisades Park or whatever, right? So that the idea that, you know, you've gone to Santa Monica and, but because it's Disneyland, it can't just be like end of the pier. It has to be like end of the pier and then some, you know, it's got to be like, whoa, you know, so there, it's not just a Ferris wheel. It's a Ferris wheel, but then the little cars, they kind of move on these little kind of wavy tracks.
Okay.
So as you go around, they flop and then they turn and move around and you're uncomfortable. And then, but then the roller coaster ride, which I believe is called California Screamin'. I don't know if anyone gets that name. It starts off with what was a classic new kind of thing at the time, which was just to like shoot you off straight up a hill. Like not have a chain that you slowly make your way up and get all scared
Fox until
you get
to the top.
You just go from like breakneck pace right away. It's like boom, straight up this big hill, and then you start the ride. You know, and it's, you know, you're like, whoa, this is, I'm going all over the place. This is fun. It's scary. You know, it's pretty cool. And it's not like you're, I don't remember being like super strapped in. I think we were kind of strapped in, which too bad. But then you get to a point where you're just kind of like, okay, this is good. I get it. I'm going up and down hills. Got it. And then you hit this point, like it's like when you used to play with your Hot Wheels and you had the little battery operated spinners that would spin the cars and push them a little farther along. That's what I had. Like you reach a point where the propulsion is starting to, the momentum is dying down. Like, and so
it's pushes, all over.
Yeah. And then it pushes the cars on. And you're just kind of like, how long is this roller coaster? Like, this is dumb. It's because you're after a while, you know, once you go up and down hills, you know, you've done it. You've done it all. Like, so you don't need to keep more hills or just more hills.
Yeah.
So I felt like that was kind of dull. I know that sounds weird to say about a roller coaster, but I don't know. Kind of, it's okay.
Yeah, you wouldn't give it an award.
What's happened to me, though, I think because I've gotten too old, is I don't really enjoy the spinning rides anymore the way I used to enjoy them.
Okay.
I used to be fine with the spinning. What's funny, though, is when I grew up, my parents would never go on rides. And so we didn't get to go on rides as kids.
Okay.
We would go to the P&E and we would just go there. We'd go to, like, the BC Enterprise building and look at people's knitting. And then we would go to the home show.
Look at the giant map.
Go look at the giant map. Which who didn't love this giant map? But topographical map as well.
Right. But go then, get some Hunky Bill's pierogies.
No, we wouldn't buy anything there because that would involve spending money. But we would go look at the home show. Check out the home show.
You could get some fudge samples.
We'd go through the barn. Go through the barn. Barns. And then, you know, maybe we'd watch the Demolition Derby or the Lumberjack stuff.
Pig races?
I don't remember the pig races being there when I was a kid. Were they there?
With Tammy Swinette.
That sounds new. But Dolly Parton?
I was trying to think of a Dolly. There is a Dolly Parton. Fuck, it might be a duck-related one. Anyway, I can't remember. I'm sorry.
That's all right. And then, you know, we'd go. Like, we never would go on rides, which seems so, I don't know, kind of sucked. But
did you want to go on the rides?
I did for a while, but then I developed a fear of them because I felt like, why aren't we going on these rides? And then I started getting scared of rides.
Yeah.
When we went to Disneyland when I was a kid, I did go on the rides at Disneyland, although I was, my brother was too scared to go on the Matterhorn, despite my attempts to get him to go on it. But I wouldn't go on, like, I remember at Knott's Berry Farm, they had a thing called Montezuma's Revenge.
Really?
Yeah, and it was just a big...
simulated diarrhea?
It was a big giant loop. It was just one loop, and you just kind of went from one end of this loop to the other. And then maybe you went backwards over it again. I don't quite remember.
Maybe.
But I wouldn't go on that. I was okay going on, like, the mine ride and on the kind of the water...
How about the pirate ship?
I don't remember that ride from when I was a kid.
Okay. That's one of the first rides I remember from when I was a kid. Okay. Yeah, the pirate ship. It's just so simple. It's a giant swing.
Yeah.
But it is that feeling of, ah! Like, it's so simple, it's scary.
But when Mary was young, maybe 5 or 6 years old, around there was like a local fair that they
come
set
to
up.
Parking lots.
Yeah, they set up in the parking lot, Lumberland in downtown Langley. They set up this little fair. And so we were there and we just stopped in. And she wanted to go on the octopus. And I was like, Talisa, I was like, here's your chance. You guys go on there. She's like, I'm not going on that. So I had to go on it.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, I'm not too sure about this. I've always been kind of scared of these rides. So,
but you got to pretend that you're not.
Yeah, that's right. So you get on with your daughter. You're like, oh, Dad's fine with this ride. Whoa, the octopus. So we get on it. And actually, it was fine. The problem was, though, is because it was in a parking lot. And the guy's like, well, you know, there's not very many rides here. I'll give you your money's worth. You know, so we were just going forever. And I was like starting to get kind of car sick feeling, which I don't usually get that feeling. But it just was like this 5 minute long, you know, spinning around and this thing. But Mary loved it. She just loved that ride. And
oh, that's great.
So when we went to the P&E, then she's like, well, Dad, I want to go on more rides. So we had to go on more rides. So I just had to start going on rides. And I just had to get over all these old ridiculous hangups, you know, these. And so pretty soon I was like, you know, you just kind of start, I guess you start small and then you just work your way up, right? So you start off, you're going on like the Scrambler, which is this, like, yep, this weird kind of just a whip back and forth ride. And then you go from that, you're suddenly on, you're on Crazy Beach Party or going on Hell's Gate or the Orbiter or whatever. And you're just like, I guess I'm here now. I didn't plan this, but okay.
Yep.
I'm spinning upside down in the air going in circles. And I did enjoy this quite a bit, but I found like a... The last year when we were there and I got a ride pass and went on quite a few rides with the girls, I started feeling not like nauseated by it. I just can't take the spinning like I used to be able to.
Probably got older guy in her ear, you know.
Yeah. I do suffer a little bit from dizziness if I stand up quickly, and I'm told that's something to do with the inner ear, so it's possible. Yeah, I can't go on like the what I think of as the Gravitron, but they've changed the name of it to something or other 3000, which is just the one where you just spin. And you ever gone on that one?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one.
The
big giant bowl of vomit.
Oh, so completely, yeah. There's so many horrible things that could go on in there.
Yeah.
I like people riding, they had one that had no roof on it. Do they always have no roof on it? Or the Gravitron?
Some do, and some have ones where it lifts off the ground and there's nothing underneath you.
That's right, yeah. They had one of those, but it was rainy, and I was like, I wonder what this is like in the rain. Mm-hmm. If the rain falls in, what happens when the rain falls in the Gravitron?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, does it hit you? Does it stick to you? What goes on? But one thing that bothers me at the PNE is they have the glass house. And I remember I would go through the glass maze as a kid. I was pretty good at mazes. But what they've done now is they've marked they put a little, smudge on all the glass in there. You know, so you didn't walk, so you won't walk face first into it. And it's like, that's the point.
Yeah, that is the point.
Yeah, now it's like, no, that doesn't, it's nothing. You've got
to
like make
it. To be fair, by the time you were on your fifth day there, it was pretty much smudged anyway. So it's pretty easy to tell where.
Yeah, but that's nature.
You know, just
that's nature taking
all
care
these face prints in it from people walking in face grease.
I could see people getting terrified in that and being stuck and like what have you.
I went in that in grade 10. And this,
never came out.
It's true.
He's a ghost.
This woman followed us in and started tickling us and poking us and laughing.
No.
Yes.
No, that's no good.
It's very strange.
No, it's not strange. It's bad. It's not a good thing.
And
how much older than you?
Probably 20 years older than us.
Very not good. No.
Maybe not even that much older than us because she had like young kids with her.
Still,
she
no.
Seemed
oh, even worse. Bad.
She just left them outside and she followed.
No, this is everything about this is terrible.
It was very strange.
No.
It was a very strange experience.
Yeah, that's...
But I have to say, it did make it sort of more fun because we were really hurrying through it. And so there was a lot of face smashing.
Right.
Because you were just trying to get away from this person.
Who was tickling you, this older woman.
She was having a good time.
Right. Okay. No, boo to that person. If she's listening now, don't do that. I hope you stopped,
person.
That's
a memory.
That's a memory and a lawsuit all in one.
I kind of enjoyed it, actually. I never regret it. It was just weird, though, because she just like was laughing kind of weirdly. And then, and then we got to the end and she just... took these two children's hands, and then she just walked away.
Okay, here's a quick question. Did you see her with the kids beforehand?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I mean, she left them there, like, when we went in. Like, I saw her come in.
You saw her come in with the children.
She left the kids outside and just followed us in.
No. You're not getting what I'm
asking. Oh, I see.
I'm asking if, like, after she was done with you guys, she just grabbed two children and left.
I don't know the full story.
Okay.
I don't know the full story.
This could have been this is the start of an Eli Roth movie.
Speaking of the many, many haunted houses at the PNE, there's one. Did you see it? The Keeper's Doll Factory, I think it's called.
Oh, there's three. There's four haunted houses.
Okay.
Because they've also got, you know, just the one for kids. That's the really
the witch.
The ghost house.
Okay. The witch on a stick.
They got the one that's near the arcade. You got the one that's across from the barbecue.
Oh, darn. I didn't do the shooting gallery this year.
You know, one of my favorite things is late at night, because it's all light sensitive, when someone is just taking a flash photo next to it and absolutely everything goes off at once. That's a good time. I love that. But you know, something that bugs me. Sorry, let me say about the shooting gallery, and then we'll get to your thing.
Okay.
When I was in England, I was doing one of those shooting galleries.
Yeah.
And at one point you shoot a skunk, and the skunk then turns and squirts water at you, and you got to dodge out of the way of the water.
That's cool.
Great.
Yeah.
I mentioned this to my wife, and she goes, well, that's clearly the case with a skunk here. They've just dewatered him. Because if you see how the skunk goes, he turns, lifts his tail. Mm. He should be shooting water at you. And now it pisses me off because I'm like,
It's a waste of water.
Yeah, I know, but you should waste water then.
Because the Hell's Gate is a large bench ride, right?
Yeah.
Everyone sits on a bench, and then the bench lifts up in the air.
Yeah.
And then it turns upside down, and then it spins around.
Yeah.
And your glasses almost fall off.
Yeah.
I know this from experience. And then it stops upside down, and then it slowly lowers you down, and then water would squirt up from below, and then you would sort of head towards this water, And then it would sort of diminish as you got closer to it. It wouldn't actually squirt you, but it looked like it was going to. And then you just kind of spin your way down. And apparently they've upped the spinning, which I missed again this year. But yeah, a couple of years they didn't have any water because of water restrictions. And you're like, well, no, because that's...
Did they not have the log ride those years either?
Yeah, well, the log ride, I mean, it's internal. The water doesn't go away.
Well, why would the water go away in...
I don't know. I guess because it's squirting. I don't know. It was weird. Like, why turn it off?
Yeah, I understand. It's a small amount of water. I'm sure what happened was people got squirted in the face and they went, hey, I'm mad. I'm a mad guy who's mad at the thing.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I remember they used to have, like, at the arcade, they used to have the air hockey table outside and they had it on this incredible slant. So it's just like there was no way anyone on that one side could ever win.
Yeah.
And I do miss that they used to have the Hercules pinball game, which was the gigantic pinball game.
Okay.
With a huge ball and, you know.
They've replaced it with the Hercules hamburger, the 10-pound, $70 burger.
That I was going to ask if you tried that.
No.
All right.
Because that would be crazy.
All right. Now back to the haunted house doll.
Oh,
back.
I was just going to mention that, yeah, it seems odd because, you know, I was there in the daytime. And so, you know, there'd be these women with kind of half-assed makeup on their faces.
Yeah.
Trying to lure in families into this haunted house. And you're like, well, no. Like, kids don't want to go in and see that. Like, why would you want to terrify kids about dolls? Like when I was walking by, this lady said, do you want to be a doll? I said, I am a doll. No, I just kind of smiled, like, you know, that kind of smile, like, don't talk to me. That's what my smile said. I'm just walking by you. Why are you talking to me? Smile. I don't want to be a doll. That's my answer. But, you know, why would you want kids to go into a, you know, stuff like that? You know, I don't know.
Place. I'm not a big haunted house guy anyway. You've gone through haunted house.
I like haunted
houses. You've brought Australians into haunted houses and taken them through haunted houses.
You make it sound like it's I broke a law. But
well, you're not following people into a glass thing and tickling them.
No.
Tickling Australians as they go through.
But it seems like bad marketing to me. Like if you have a haunted house.
What's the good marketing?
If you have a haunted house, open it at night. Because that's when people are there who want to go.
It's summertime, though. We're not going to have any nighttime. I mean, it's going to be like daylight until like 8.
There's a certain point where the kids aren't there anymore with families, and it's just teenagers walking around.
So no haunted houses until nighttime.
Well, because who's going to go in it?
People. I saw, and it was always like pairs of teenage girls who would come out going, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. I think they dare each other, and then they go in.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe.
I think then.
I guess maybe.
I think
maybe
then your marketing is like, you know, there's teenage girls in there.
There you go.
Hey, teenage boys.
Yeah. I think.
You only market to teenage boys. Don't market to creepy older guys saying there's teenage girls in there. I don't want that business going on.
Maybe it was the location was bad because they're.
It is. It's right next. It's really near the kiddie area there. Yeah. Which is. Yeah. I agree with that.
Yeah.
That's no good.
Because there's like the Tilt-A-Whirl. Is there, and then you walk down a bit farther, and there's other.
Here's
like,
what I think
rides.
The problem is. I think that you're right. It's in the wrong location. So why not put all your haunted houses in one area and make it the scary part of town?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the scare land or whatever you want to call it.
Sure.
But this is just that, you know. So do you dare enter scare land?
Mm.
And like here are the four things we've got in scare land, and maybe you throw some other shit
sure.
in there.
Sure.
You know.
Yeah. No. Like, obviously, they're holdovers from their Halloween spectacular,
right.
Fright Night, where the whole place is scary. But it just seems odd, like, the one is obviously just like a fun house for kids. So let's ignore that haunted house.
Right.
But even three other haunted houses. Three haunted houses at one fair. I mean, it's not that big a place.
Right.
You know, the other rides could be there. It's funny, though. I always think they get rid of rides. I always feel like, oh, they got rid of the octopus.
Yeah.
God damn it. And then you walk down and it's down below. Like, oh, there's the octopus. They just moved it over here. I don't know why they do that. But the one they did get rid of is one of my favorites, which was the wild mouse or atomic mouse, right?
Yeah.
I love that one.
I just wish there was more lights. I really like I like rides with lots of lights on them.
Mm-hmm.
I like it nighttime where it's all lit up.
Yeah.
It's just a little too dark for me now. I just go there and I'm like, no, come on, let's neon this shit up. Let's put some lights and business around.
Yeah.
And let's goose it.
I agree with you.
Have some fun.
The new one, The Beast, is quite nicely lit up, I think. That's a spinning, swinging ride. So you're suspended in the air in seats and it's spinning. And then you're swinging back and forth until it kind of gets up, so it's almost you know, parallel.
I'm sorry they don't have that one that's like a slingshot anymore that would just pull you down on like.
They don't have that anymore.
No, and then shoot you up. No, they have the spinning around.
Oh, the big salt and pepper.
Yeah, the only slingshots you get are the Angry Birds experience, which is $5. Look, I'm in the fair. Give me the Angry Birds.
Yeah, but it's part, it should be part of the thing.
Oh, here's another. So two things real quick, because we're running out of time. But two things fast. One, the Guess Your Age guys. Guess Your Age, Guess Your Weight guys.
Okay.
Okay, first of all, guys, we know that the prizes cost less than the what you're paying to guess.
Yeah.
So that's scam one.
Mm-hmm.
But let me just tell you, here's the scam. Here's the old-timey scam.
Okay.
Because you're supposed to...
Steal your wallet.
They're supposed to guess within 2 months of your birth month, and you're going to guess, right?
Okay.
So, but what they do is they write... They do... it looks like either June... Or January, but there's a way of writing that that looks like both.
Okay.
So when you say February, I said January, you hold it up. But if you said, you know, July, you go, it's June. Because you can write okay. January in a way that looks like June.
Yeah.
And then they just present it to you.
You don't close the loop on your A.
Yeah. And you go, So it's a bit of a scam there. Mm. But the real scam is the prizes are not worth as much as you're paying to have the fellow guest. Okay. So enjoy that. I went to the, it had no theme to it. No theme. It was just, I think it was like Mysteries of Space or some shit. And you go in there and there's like Iron Man and then C-3PO and then the alien from Aliens and then Robbie the Robot.
Where was this, right?
This is like as you walk, it was where the Beatles exhibit was last time.
Yeah.
Just all this random shit. And then like a real Mars rover type, recreation and all this stuff is like, there's no real theme to anything. And to the point where like they put, and everything was so spread out.
Yeah.
By the way, here comes a siren. This is our game. If you've listened to the show before, if you guess what it is, you'll get nothing because it's not passing by us. Okay. But here's how you knew they didn't give a damn. First of all, everything's so crazy spread out.
Yeah.
You can just tell they're trying to fill everything.
Mm-hmm.
But as you walk in, there's R2-D2. And then way across the room is C-3PO.
They should be together.
Absolutely. What the fuck are these guys doing apart?
Sure.
Okay. Other thing that bugged me. Then they had the display and it said Cyborg.
Like, Cyborg.
Oh, Cyborg. Oh, what do you think it's going to be? Cyborg. Iron Man.
What?
Yeah. So, that's a $6 million man is a cyborg.
Yeah.
The character Cyborg from Teen Titans is a cyborg.
Yeah.
There are many cyborgs. Iron Man is not...
But wearing a suit of armor.
Yeah.
That's powered.
Now, you could go... Yes, he's got the thing in his chest.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, technically there is part of him. His heart is mechanical.
Yeah.
Yes, you might go cyborg, but... If you have watched Iron Man 3, you clearly know he had that removed. Now he's just a guy in a suit.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry. He is not a cyborg anymore. He hasn't been a cyborg for at least 4 movies. So stop it. Just stop it.
You went cyborg, cyborg.
Here's your participation ribbon.
Thank you.
Folks, I was going to talk to you about my theories on the Superman movie, but I'm going to save that for next time.
What Superman movie?
Oh, the first Superman movie.
Oh, okay.
I'm just going to tell it to you fast. Here it is, really fast.
Okay.
Really, really fast.
Okay.
I brought this up yesterday at a stand-up show that I was doing, and I wrote my theory out today on Facebook, so maybe you've already read it by the time you've seen this if you are Facebook friends with me. It wasn't the idea that when Superman goes back in time at the end of, you know, Superman, there's a second Superman. We have talked about that quite a bit.
Yes.
My problem with the
first... You have talked about that quite a bit.
Yeah. And you've joined in just wholeheartedly. But my problem has always been that that Jor-El sets up off the top, whatever you do, don't go back in time.
Yeah.
Whatever you do, don't go back in time. Mm-hmm. And then he goes back in time.
Yes.
First time he screws up. No consequences. Credits roll.
Yeah.
End of movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, that seems very, very strange.
Yeah.
So while I was talking about this, we kind of got into a discussion about like, well, because if you did go back in time, Krypton, you could just like reverse the Krypton thing and have Krypton not blow up.
Yeah.
But then came up with a theory about, oh, wait a minute. What if that's why Krypton blew up? Was this advanced, civilization found out about time travel, found this thing,
all right,
kept whipping back and reversing time.
Everyone on the planet was going.
Yeah. They groundhog dayed all the time.
I broke my vase.
Absolutely. They do something fucks up.
Yeah.
They go, screw it, back in time, redo the same day.
Yeah.
And so they become the perfect civilization
okay.
with crystal and everything's perfect and everything's wonderful.
Sure.
The only problem is you can't do that to a planet as often as they have. And that's what causes the planet to blow up because it can't take it. And then you fucked up the whole solar system, which is why your sun's gone red. So
okay.
they've done it so many times because at the end of a sun's life cycle, you know, it turns red. But why didn't these guys, who are so fucking advanced, you know, and by the way, know that if they fly to where a yellow sun is, they'll be superhuman and could do anything. Why are they living under a fucking red sun?
Do they know? Do they know if they fly to a yellow?
Well, Jor-El seems to be completely aware of this.
Okay.
He says to Laura, when we send our son here, he's going to be like a god.
Oh, okay.
Well, why don't they go to where they're going to be like a fucking god? Why are they under the red damn sun all the time?
Yeah.
It makes no sense. But probably, here's my theory, they've done the time travel thing so much, they fucked up the sun. Now they're stuck on the planet.
Yeah.
They're all screwed. Jor-El's going, stop traveling back in time. And the guys are like, we will. We promise. Don't keep doing it. So they keep doing it.
Yeah.
And that's what blows up the whole damn planet.
Okay.
And that's why that's my theory, because it's the only thing that makes sense why he would say to, you know, Kal-El, his son,
yeah,
don't travel back in time. Why? Because this is what we did.
Yeah.
You know, he never says anything to him about, by the way, this causes planets to blow up. What blew up our planet? I should probably warn you about what blew up our planet, because when it happens to your planet, which it probably will, no one's going to believe you. Here's the proof. No. But the one thing he tells him is, don't go back in time. So my theory is, that's what blew up Krypton.
Hmm. The one time that I saw Superman in the theater.
Superman one time.
I was super mad when he went back in time. Like, I felt like, it seems strange now, because I was mad because it's not possible. It just doesn't make any sense, right? Like,
if Jor-El at the top goes, don't go back in time.
But if,
you've set that.
But if you make the world go backwards, time doesn't go backwards. You just make things fall over.
Okay, well,
it doesn't make any logical
sense. You're assuming that by him spinning the world backwards, that he is actually spinning the world backwards instead
yeah.
of he's moving so fast
yeah.
that time is going backwards, so we're seeing the world go backwards. Because that's what it would look like if time was going backwards.
Instead of
what you would see on Earth, where you see everything just being reversing in fast motion, you're seeing it from the outside, which looks like the Earth is going around.
It's dumb. It doesn't work like that.
Here's the other problem.
That's not how you travel through time.
Okay, fair enough. But here's the other problem with that is, okay, so if you just have Earth go back in time, well, now we're all fucked because the planets are in the wrong the moon's in the wrong spot.
Yeah,
everything's wrong, you know. So now you've thrown the whole thing off.
I think what
that's why I think the whole solar system in Krypton went back in time, and that's why it fucked up the sun.
I think what I don't like is a movie where you invest in a character's death, and then they're suddenly back alive. You know, so you're made sad.
Yeah,
they make you cry.
Right,
they get you upset.
Right.
And they go, oh, no, he actually isn't dead.
So are you going to dislike the next the Justice League movie or the next movie, Superman, the modern Superman's in? Because he's...
Spoilers, everyone.
Yeah, you know.
I don't know. Like, I mean, there's a film, The Abyss, and I really like it. I really love that film up until the end of the movie, where I think it cheats you by taking away the tragic death of Ed Harris's character. Spoilers, everyone. But it takes away...
Gotta go back in time and like...
I'll have to go back. But it takes away... You know, so you're like watching this sad movie ending, tragic guy sacrificing himself for the good of humanity, for other people. And then he's saved by happy face guys. They may as well just be wearing smiley faces, like they're 1970s buttons that have come out of nowhere and are just like, you know, they just rescue him. And you just feel like, well, what a cheat. I'm already invested everything into this brave act that he's doing. And then it's just, we're cheated out of the obvious natural end of a person's, you know.
Well, it's in the recut version, because there's two versions. Correct it?
No. All it does is it make, what that movie did was just reinstate more of the alien stuff, because when they did a theatrical release, they cut out a lot of the alien elements. And so it just became almost a back part of the movie, which makes it even more of a cheat feeling.
Right.
Because then you really don't see much of the aliens in it until they suddenly show up out of nowhere and
save
him on the bottom.
Let me ask you this then. So how do you feel, because speaking of Cameron movies, holy cow, we're going long today.
How do you feel
about Terminator 2?
Well, what's my objection there?
Well, Terminator 1 is the first film, and that says that we're going to be destroyed. You know, there's nothing you can really do. You know,
And then
the second film is no, you can fight the future, and she does succeed, and the Terminator dies and does die, does not come back. You know, immediately and be fine. Are you fine with that?
Yeah, I'm fine with that. Because
are you fine then with Terminator 3, where they reverse Terminator 2?
No.
Why is that? What's the difference between?
Well, I don't like the later films where they keep moving back. I mean, obviously, time travel is a paradox, so you can't.
Yeah.
It can't really ever make sense because it negates itself over and over again.
Yeah, right? I don't mind the second film because it feels like it actually does pair up well with the first film and doesn't take away from the first film.
No, I agree.
She just finds a way, and also I like that, you know, hope actually, there is hope.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, we, you know, for good reasons, they earn the ending that they earn. There's sacrifice.
Sure.
It's not through luck. You know, and it's like, yeah, it all works out. And then the third film is, nope, there's nothing you can fucking do. Time wins. And it's this real fight, it feels, in that universe of just like, destiny wins. It's like, no, free will. Destiny. Free will. We don't know. Fuck it. You know?
I didn't hate the third film. I mean, it's okay as like a smash-em-up, you know, action movie or whatever. But in terms of, did you see the fifth? I haven't seen the fourth one. But I saw fifth one.
I've seen them all.
I saw Genesis.
Yeah.
And that makes even less
time travel sense. Oh, it makes way less sense, yeah. Except that the Doctor shows up and does some evil stuff in it.
But I saw...
Matt Smith is there.
Oh, okay. I saw... That's right. The movie Looper. That's another movie that makes no sense in terms of... Oh, guys, what?
That was our Looper
alarm.
What is this? Yeah, see if you can guess what's going to be coming by, folks, from the siren.
I know what it is, but I won't...
Okay. All right.
And I was right.
And what was it?
But it was the fire engine.
Very nice.
Given away by that signature sound it makes.
So why does Looper make no sense?
Well, there's a lot of silliness, but in that scene with Paul Dano, when he doesn't kill himself, when his older self comes back, and then he doesn't kill himself, and then the gangsters, kidnap the younger self. And then start cutting him up, and his older self starts getting all this.
Sorry, losing fingers.
Yeah, but it doesn't make any sense because if it happened to his younger self, then his older self should come back in time and already be missing limbs. Like things that happen to your younger self doesn't suddenly happen to your older self. Like later on, it happens your whole life. Then, like if I change you now,
right?
Your older self will always be.
Then let me ask you this:
dumb
Bill and Ted, Excellent Adventure rules. Does that work for you?
What are those rules?
Those rules are this. We got to get into this place. Yeah. Okay. Well, we don't have keys. All right. We have a time machine. How about after we're done with this, we go back in time and we leave keys here for ourselves? Yeah, okay. Oh, there they are. We just got to remember to go leave these keys for ourselves. Yeah, we got to remember that. And then they go in with the keys. Is that okay?
Yes, but that's not
I think so too.
I think
that was one of the smartest time travel things I've ever seen. And I remember in the theater, the audience just all like turned to each other and went, yeah, that's clever. Why don't they do that?
It's kind of like that the first Matt Smith season where he, in the final episode, where he does that complicated, well, throughout the season, I guess, he's done a complicated setup where he creates a way to get himself out of the trap by leaving stuff in the past that helps him. And that works because you're anticipating but Looper doesn't make that kind of doesn't have that out for itself.
Yeah.
It has two characters coexisting who are the same person, and the younger version getting injured and the older version then having, like, say the character gets his finger cut off, then he's not just missing the finger and it's bleeding, it's actually healed over, like it's an old injury.
Yeah.
It makes no sense because that's just how it would always be then. Like, it doesn't, it's dumb. But it's okay in the movie. Like, if you're just going to, like, turn off your brain and watch it, that's fine. I have no problem with that. Like, but if you start thinking about it, you're like, ugh, time travel. That's a paradox. Like, you can't. It just doesn't work. You know, like, you can't make it work because it's so full of, it's so convoluted.
I just realized something. You could, because you're the editor, now go back in time in this thing and actually plant something at the beginning of the show
that
you pay off right now.
Thanks for putting me on the spot.
Yeah, you could.
I got nothing.
No, I think you should because here's what I'm going to say.
All right.
One of the things we have with our question show
is,
you know, first of all, you can ask us questions, but you could also give us answers.
You can.
And we've got to then come up with a question.
That's true.
What you could do right now is come up with an answer.
Okay.
Go back and put that at the beginning of the show, the question.
Mm.
But you're not going to. It would be clever, and it's the kind of thing that wins awards.
I don't think so. You know, the wins, participation ribbons.
So if you do want to ask us a question, we will send you the equivalent of a participation ribbon, which will be our comic. That really is what it is. Everyone, we have one winner, but we are giving away participation comics.
It's not.
That is what we're doing. That's 100% what we're doing.
That's not
you have
true.
Just put them down, and no, then you've also set it up.
That's not
you
true.
You have just completely killed what you set up for these nice people.
It is.
All
it
the people have been doing this for like now weeks and weeks and weeks and sending us in things.
Yeah.
There's a big kick in the butt for you from Dave. Enjoy your participation,
Comics. You've totally twisted and undersold this. It is a thank you from us.
Yeah. Here's what
you're
going
to them.
Let me say.
For participating.
One of the things you're also going to get, besides you're going to get buttons, you're going to get the comic, you're also going to get some of Eve's ribbons. Dave's going to go raid some of those ribbons. And you're going to get a ribbon. You're going to go, I won this for horsemanship.
Yeah. Fourth place.
Best hooves.
Very, very popular contest.
Yeah, farriers get that one. Best hooves. Mm-hmm. The hoovies.
The hoovies, yep. That's another one. Another Canadian award.
Yep. All right. So if you do want to write to us, I'll go this fast again because I did it off the top. SneakyDragon.com, message boards. That's where you can do it. You can also email us, SneakyD@SneakyDragon.com. You can go to Facebook. You can go on Twitter, SneakyDragon@Sneaky. Don't go to Twitter. It's dangerous. Don't go there. Fuck Twitter. We're not doing it. But you want to go to Tumblr, sneakydragon.tumblr.com. Do not go to Twitter, whatever you do.
Really?
Yeah.
You're closing
Fuck
your account.
It. No, I'm burning that account.
Yeah, it's done.
Screw it.
@sneaky_dragon, everyone.
All right, sure. Fair enough. thank you so much for listening.
Oh, you're welcome.
All right. You were obligated to listen. No one else was obligated to listen. Am I wrapping this one up? I think I am.
Yes.
And why don't you also, this is you always like to ask something at the end of each show. What do you think is two questions. What's your favorite time travel movie or book or, hell, video game?
I have one in mind.
Okay. First, your favorite. And second, what do you think is the most accurate? The one that makes the most sense does not have to be your favorite,
okay.
But you're like, boy, that actually kind of plays out, that kind of thing. So let us know that. We like to hear that. I think that's it for us. I've been Ian.
I've been David.
And thank you, friends,
for listening. Can I say what my favorite time travel book is?
Sure. Go ahead.
Or would I be spoiling it to do that?
No, go.
Martian Time Slip by Philip K. Dick.
Okay.
One of the greatest science fiction books ever written.
Okay. There we go.
You heard it from me.
All right. Very good. I'm going to say one thing that I liked was a comic book called, and there's a TV show now called Legends of Tomorrow that has this character in it, but it's Rip Hunter Time Master. And what I liked about it was he was a time master and he would go back in time.
Yep.
But as soon as you've gone back in time in one way, then you can never go back in time that way again. You got to figure out a completely different way of going back in time. So every time that you do it, time goes, no, and closes that door and you can never repeat it.
Okay.
So you got to keep fooling nature. Space-time continuum.
Hmm.
Yeah. All right. Thanks so much for listening. We've done all this stuff already. Wait a second. We're just repeating time now. Goodbye. Tight enough?
There we go.
That's the problem.
That was an issue.
That's what she said. Okay.
I don't think that's a thing.
You don't think that's a thing?
With that's an issue? That doesn't sound something like that's what she said.
Was it in tight enough?
Oh, did you say that? I missed that bit.
There you go. Gonna stand the ball, sir.
Oh, that's what she said.
I like it.